Okay. All right. That's a twofer. Two in a row. Welcome to the DB Media Podcast. I'm Brian. That's Dylan. And we have some movie news. We have a lot of good movies to be reviewing today. We were hit by a flood in our area, which is one of the reasons why we did not post last week. So
we lost two dogs and a John boat.
I had a cousin lose a meth lab. Okay. Okay. But we do have some good movie news here. First off, James Gunn says we are getting 7 projects a year, and he has a 6-year plan. Yeah, 6-year plan. He's promised to give 2 live-action films a year, 1 animated film, 2 live-action series, and 2 animated series. What do you think about that?
Sounds pretty good. I mean, if it's all connected to the same universe, yeah, yep. It sounds great.
That's what I'm saying. And two of them is confirmed. One of them is a Green Lantern animated series, and one of them is a Starfire animated series, talking about her origin story after she left her planet before she meets the Teen Titans.
Okay, so is he gonna release that first or Teen Titans first?
I think that first, but he has said that there's a Teen Titans movie in development now. It is heavily, heavily speculated that he is the one who's writing the movie. Because he won't release who has written the movie, but he keeps saying he's working closely with the writer.
I think he should do Teen Titans.
Yeah, he does good team-up movies.
Yeah, he does good team-up movies.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm down for him doing Teen Titans. I think that'd be right up his alley.
Yeah.
But another little piece of news here we got. So there was a recent interview with Marlon Wayans that went viral saying that he is planning on doing a White Chicks 2. After they get done with their scary movie, 6 that they're in charge of, they plan on doing White Chicks 2. What do you think about that?
They're pretty cool.
I love the first White Chicks.
Yeah, I watched an old black and white movie the other day. And I was thinking, oh, this is kind of like White Chicks.
You said about that, yeah.
Yeah, I just like kind of like White Chicks. It's called Some Like It Hot. It's got Marilyn Monroe in it.
Yeah, I'm about to watch that movie.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, it's kind of like White Chicks. They're dressing up like women. And as the movie went on, I was like, this is White Chicks.
this is the first White Chicks.
Yeah. But, and then I Googled it, and it said that they was inspired by this movie to make White Chicks.
See, yeah, everything comes full circle. We also have here that Keanu Reeves has said that he is trying to come back as Constantine. They, under DC, they are trying to write a script for Constantine 2 and tie it in.
I don't know if that'll work because he wasn't a comic accurate Constantine.
I
don't get me wrong. I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it, but it's all right.
I really liked that movie when I was younger.
Yeah.
It was just a really cool movie to me. I didn't know Constantine was a DC character either, though.
They had a Constantine show that was 1 season long. It's really, really good. It was on the CW, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I would love to see a Constantine sequel, and I would love to see it tie into the DCU.
Yeah, but I don't know if they'll do it because he's not British.
Right, and
I don't know if he can do a British accent, can he?
He's getting a little too old. Have you seen him? He's got gray hair and everything. Gray beard.
They make hair dye.
Yeah, but still, I'm just saying, he looks a little too old for that. Also, they have confirmed that Punisher is getting a special presentation, which is not a full-length movie, and it's not a series, but it's going to be like the Guardians Christmas special and like Werewolf by Night. He's going to get a special presentation like that on Disney Plus. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
And it is set to come out after Daredevil Born Again.
Okay.
So, also, they have let a few influencers see the first few episodes of Daredevil Born Again, and it is overwhelmingly positive reviews. Like, crazy good reviews.
I don't know. That kind of scares me.
Why?
I usually tend to lean towards the opposite way of whoever they let watch it first.
I agree, because you feel like they're always just like kind of fluffing up the movie because they're getting paid to do so.
Yeah, or I don't know, like, sometimes people think the movie's bad, and I'm like, this is a pretty good movie.
Yeah. I'm excited. We are less than a week or two away, is it? Before, it's March something, ain't it?
What?
Daredevil.
Oh, I have no idea.
It's like a week or so away. Yeah. So, I am really pumped to see that again. I'm going to go back and finish season three, because I quit watching season three, because... when I was watching season three, like, they kind of canceled the show, and I was like, I'm just not gonna touch it no more. And I'm gonna go back and finish that so I can watch that. But yeah. Looking forward to that. Last piece of news here we got. Can't say this guy's last name. John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
Yeah. He has been casted as the new Dumbledore for Harry Potter.
The series?
Yeah, the series.
I don't know how well that series is gonna do.
I don't either. It is way too soon to be rebooting anything.
Yeah, they get, like, the last movie is supposed to take place when the first book released, which was 1997.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why I don't know. I don't even know what I had to do with anything.
But
it's just like
it's a weird timeline.
Yeah,
no,
it's a weird timeline. And honestly, I think that those are classic movies that people's constantly going to watch throughout time. Like, I don't feel like any of those characters can be traded out.
I agree. Like, I think if you're going to reboot a series, you need to wait a few more years because. Where it just ended, like, recently.
Well, it didn't end recently.
I mean, it ended, like, what?
2012?
Yeah, so, like, 12 years ago. This generation's still old enough to know Dan Radcliffe is Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, like, people just... I don't know, they should have waited a little bit longer. Because 12 years is not that big enough gap to reboot anything.
I don't think it should have been rebooted at all because it's, like I said, it's like Jaws. Nobody's rebooted Jaws because everybody still watches Jaws.
That is a very fair point. I think the biggest reason for the reboot is the fact that they butchered the last movie. Like, the movie is nothing like the book. Like, at least some of them have some aspects of them where they are related to the book or they are somewhat like the book. The last one was just like, God, throw the book out. You know what I mean? Especially with the last fight between him and Voldemort. Throw the book out. I'm like, we'll write our own.
Yeah, so, I never read the book, so yeah. I don't know.
Books were one of the first book series that I read. Yeah. So.
What happened in the books?
It's hard to describe because, I read the book since ninth grade. But I know that it was not... the way that it was portrayed in the like for one, like Malfoy, like kind of like turning like good right there at the end. Yeah, I'm almost positive it didn't happen in the books. Yeah. Again, you can't really quote me because it's been almost 10 years since I read the books, if not over 10 years.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I'm going to get those back and read them. Those are such good books, dude. I know you don't really read books, but I'm about to get those books back and read them. Especially before the new series comes out, because each season is going to be a book. So, but anyway, we'll get to the movies we are going to be reviewing today. Okay, so the first movie we got here is The Haunting of Hollywood. So, a special shout out to the people who made this movie.
Yep.
They did reach out to us and asked us to review this movie. So that is pretty cool. And we are very, very gracious that they would reach out to us about that.
Grateful,
whatever. I can't talk. I'm illiterate. Not illiterate. What's the word?
Retarded.
That's it. No. We are very, very happy that they are going to, that they have reached out to us to review their movie because we're very honored. Honestly, I really enjoy this movie. Like, it's a low-budget indie film that won some awards at a film festival. So we'll get the rundown of the movie without getting too into it. It is a fairly new release.
Yeah.
So it's about this man who his mom was a wannabe actress. She lands a role in Hollywood. She commits suicide up by the Hollywood sign, and he is obsessed with her death, and he goes to make a... I don't know. It doesn't really specify. It's a documentary.
I think it's a documentary.
Documentary about that, and they're going to the Hollywood sign to film where she died. Him and his two friends, his girlfriend and his other friend. But, did what you rated this movie?
I'd give it a 3 out of 5.
Same, 3 out of 5. It was not going to, you know, it's not a 5 out of 5. It's not a perfect movie by no means.
Yeah.
But you see the love in this movie.
Yeah, that's why I gave it a 3 out of 5. Like, nothing like super spectacular happens in this movie, but I was interested in seeing how the story progressed.
Absolutely. And the pacing of the story was done really well. Like, especially, again, I'm going to keep reiterating, it was a low-budget indie film.
Yeah.
But it is just just the way they progress the story and the pacing of the story and the atmosphere that... Because it was shot during COVID. And yeah. I think that's one of its biggest, strengths. Because...
Yeah, because they're trying to portray the deadness of Hollywood and whatnot.
They're trying to portray how cold Hollywood can be and how... And by the end of the... Or in the middle of the movie, they are going through Hollywood and there's no one on the street, which is something you don't see.
Yeah.
And but that's because it was during the lockdown. And that was really cool that they were able to do that because that really helped the film. The fact that it was inspired by a true story. So I watched a interview with the director, and she had said that it was inspired by a true event from a real actress who jumped off the Hollywood sign, or jumped off one of the cliffs by the Hollywood sign, something like that. That's the only real true aspect to it.
Okay.
But that's still pretty cool. Like, they got a basic idea of what they want to do and try to turn that into like a ghost story about grief and stuff. The creepy imagery in this movie, awesome. The scene where they go to the landlord, or not the landlord, but the hotel or the apartment, whatever they're renting, and they have that creepy red light and the guy with the creepy face, and whoever that actor is playing that landlord, he deserves an award alone for that performance. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool scene. And then it was kind of funnier to me when they showed up at the end and he was just like a normal dude.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, this is the first time I'm meeting you. And they're like, no, you're
me. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. But it was supposed to be, you know, like, that was the ghost.
Yeah, it was a ghost.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. It was a really cool reveal at the end. The guy, yeah, he had like...
Wait, was it a ghost or was he just like possessed and just didn't remember it?
I don't know. I think it's left up to interpretation.
Yeah.
I would honestly believe that he... Because he didn't have that messed up eye in the end, did he?
No.
Yeah, I would think it was just like a...
Ghost of some sort.
Yeah, like the mom spirit kind of leading them, I think. But this movie is definitely a slow burn.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have to, like, actually sit down, get invested in the story to like it.
Yeah.
And it works. Some slow burns don't work. Some slow burns do. I think this one
did. Monkey Man.
Monkey Man did not work.
Monkey Man did not work.
Now, there are, I will admit, I'm going to be honest, like, I will admit there are times where I thought this movie drug a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, this thing can end now. You know what I mean? But, again, that's not... It's not a bad thing when this is especially like your first film, or this is your first big film, like or even a low budget film. Like, that's not a bad thing. You'll have those little drug out scenes.
Yeah,
great movie. But what I've seen it be praised over and over again about online is the cinematography, the shots of like the Hollywood streets, the shots of like I said, the creepy red light imagery, the scene where they're actually up by the Hollywood sign, you're getting all the hills and the trees. They nailed that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic.
Imagery.
Yeah, and just the way they were they caught those beautiful scenes, that was great.
Yeah. I think they really, whereas a low-budget film, I think they really did themselves a favor by not trying to go too overboard with the makeup and stuff.
Oh, I agree. Like, try to give like special effects like ghosts or demons. Yeah. I 100% agree. They left a lot of it up to your imagination.
Yeah.
And, again, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I thought it worked here.
It did.
It really leans into the more horror aspects towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But the underlying theme of this movie is, like, grief, like, letting go. Because this guy, I don't know if he's possessed by his mother's spirit his whole life, because he keeps, like, reliving like his childhood, because she was like kind of very verbally abusive to him.
Yeah.
And it's hinted that she was kind of physically abusive. It's hinted at that repeatedly. But he can't let her go, and he's grieving about her death. So that's why he's dragging his friends to the Hollywood sign to film her death or where she died. And it has this underlying theme of grief and just letting go.
Yeah, and so he kind of sets up a proposal, like, it's not the only reason.
Right.
Yeah. Really and truly, it is the only reason.
Yeah, because he didn't give a crap about the proposal afterwards.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this movie, and to be as a movie, like an indie film like this, it was fantastic. Again, it's not a perfect movie, but with indie films, you have to grade them as indie films.
Yeah.
And again, this is a completely honest review. Like, just because they reached out to us, we already said, we're not going to be...
No. Yeah, we don't sugarcoat it.
I don't think we've ever sugarcoated anything.
Yep.
So, I am so happy about that. And, again, just... grateful for this opportunity. Yep. But 3 out of 5 and 3 out of 5. Alrighty. So this next one we got, Kick-Ass. One of my favorite comic book properties ever. Give me what you rated Kick-Ass 1. You want to talk about them together or separate?
We can do them together.
Okay. Give me 1 first.
I gave them both of them 3 out of 5.
I gave 1 a 4.5 out of 5, gave 2 a 5 out of 5. 2 is basically just, I think it's a perfect movie. I love it so much. The first one, I would probably knock off half a star, because half a star is nostalgia.
Nicolas Cage is a complete fucking psychopath in this
right?
movie.
You want to hear something even wilder? Okay. I gotta say this. This was the first comic book I ever owned. Like, the one that I purchased with my own money. Because it was not a comic book series. It was 3 graphic novels. And this was the first ever one I went out and bought with my own money when I was younger. Nicolas Cage's character in the movie, or in the comic, is not like a retired cop. He's just a comic book nerd. And he funds all these crazy things he's been doing with a briefcase full of rare comics he goes and sells. And you know how her mom died in the movie? She didn't die in the comic. He lied to her and told her she was dead. And instead of going and living with Marcus in the comic, in the comics, she goes back and live with her mom and stepdad. That's the difference. That's a big difference between the movies and the comic.
Yeah, that is a big difference.
Yeah,
I don't know why they tried to make him like such a hero, and like just let him be a dirtbag.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I love the whole atmosphere of this movie, because it's like a big, like, this is like a group of friends, like this is something we would talk about. Why ain't someone been a real superhero? And then you'd be like, because it's impossible, you idiot. Like,
no, it's possible. You just got to go through like a Punisher route.
Yeah. You can't do like the whole Kick-Ass thing.
Yeah.
This movie came out long before its time. Like, you got to admit, like, if this movie came out today, it'd be a hit.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say to that is I think Aaron Taylor Johnson's the best one for that role.
I agree. I 100% agree.
I can't really imagine anybody else as Kick-Ass.
I couldn't either. So everyone, I think they nailed their casting. Like
him and Chloe Mortz.
Yeah.
And I forget his name.
Who?
The guy who played Red Mist.
I got it right here. Christopher Mitz, please. Bless? Blessy? I don't know. Christopher something. But yes. Nick Cage, Chloe Mortiz, Aaron Taylor, the guy who played Red Mist, Clark Duke. Even Evan Peters is in the first one.
He's in the second one too, ain't he?
Nope. They recasted him in the second one, just like they did Marcus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really pay attention to him.
Yeah. Everyone nailed their role. Every single person nailed their role. And I lost my train of thought. You couldn't have asked for a better cast. You couldn't ask for a better Kick-Ass. Couldn't ask for a better Hit Girl. And this movie is just an all-around fun time.
Yeah.
I think the opening where the guy falls off the roof is so hilariously funny. He's like, yeah. That's not me, by the way. That's just someone with a history of mental illness. Yeah. Like, that was really funny. You got to admit, for a funny comedy like that's really goofy, the fight scenes are really well choreographed.
Yeah.
Even from Big Daddy taking down the warehouse to Kick-Ass's first real fight whenever he saves the first guy and goes viral. Like, all those fights are crazy good choreographed. Even Hit Girl saving Kick-Ass and Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic scene. And like,
I think it's kind of cool that they're not really afraid to mention other superheroes.
Right, like
Batman,
Spider-Man. Yeah, because a lot of people won't mention them to like copyright and they're just like...
Well, they probably got the rights to mention the names and stuff, but right. Still, it works really well that they do it.
Right, and they're just not afraid to do it.
Yeah.
The second one, she's like, Robin wishes he was me. Like, I thought that was really funny. And it tells a really good story. Like, just about a guy who's obsessed with comic books and superheroes and wants to be a hero. I think it's great. Here's a really fun fact. Like, a really cool fact. The movie came out 2 years after the comic book. Do you know how insane that is?
Yeah.
Like, the comic book came out and they were like, put a movie out right now. Like, you know, Marvel would take putting out a comic book and then making a story adaptation, it'd take a decade.
Yeah.
I thought that was really impressive. The comic book must have been really, really well received.
Yeah, Marvel can't really get their shit together right now.
Yeah, we shouldn't mention Marvel. We shouldn't compare them to Marvel. Did you know there's a Kick-Ass video game?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2?
Yeah, 2 or 3. Somewhere. I own both of them on PC.
No, PlayStation 2 had, like, literally every movie was a video game.
Yeah, Scarface, 300,
Kung Fu Panda, Shrek.
Yeah, like, all those movies, there's like The Matrix. There's like put out a video game.
Yeah. Like, it seemed like a video game came out for every single movie on PlayStation 2.
I mean, what a time to be alive. But yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's true. I forgot about that. Another huge detail that they changed in the movie from the comics, him and Katie don't get together in the comics. She rejects him repeatedly. Mm. Yeah. And the soundtrack to this is great. Between all the fights and the different fight scenes, and you hear like the little... Yeah, I love it. I love it all. I thought the suit at the end was for Red Mist, the orange suit that didn't go nowhere. I thought that was really dumb.
Yeah, that's why it didn't go nowhere. Yeah. Nobody liked it.
Yeah, they didn't even do that in the comic, though. I don't understand why they were doing that in the movie.
Movies have a history of changing shit.
Yeah. Well, now, Kick-Ass 2, you said you gave it a... What was it?
3.
5 out of 5. I love the change into the motherfucker. I love him. Like, I love his, like, whole thing. Like, he's after Kick-Ass for killing his dad, he uses his mom's sex suit to make a superhero costume. That is hilarious. Like,
it killed me when he was trying to rob the store to get his taste for villainy.
And the old man was like, you're going to bust yourself in the face. You don't hold that gun, right?
You got to be a pretty big bitch, though, for that.
I mean, think about it. He's probably never shot a gun in his life.
Yeah.
But
still, he's like an 18-year-old. You should know better.
That's true. What do you think about Jim Carrey in this movie?
Honestly, I didn't even know it was Jim Carrey until like a month after I'd watched it for the first time.
I want to say, I blame Jim Carrey wholeheartedly for this movie flopping. The second one flopped, so there was not a third one. I blame him wholeheartedly because he like slandered the movie all during marketing. Whenever they had him out there marketing, he's like, I'm not doing no marketing because it's too violent.
Yeah, and he doesn't like violent movies.
Yeah, he says way too violent for him, which he's entitled to his opinion, but I don't think while they were marketing the movie, he should have been out there being like, oh, this movie's too violent.
Yeah.
I've read reports where he even donated the money he made from this movie to a battered women's shelter. Like... I don't get it. The movie's not that violent. I mean, it is violent, but it's not like it's not the violent, most violent thing in the world. Like it's like a Punisher movie. It's like a, it's less violent than a Punisher movie.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't get it. But again, I loved his Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Yeah.
And he was very comic accurate with Colonel Stars and Stripes. The thing where she's like, you, or he's like, you want to cut off his dog's head. That is a straight reference from the comic books. In the comic books, they cut his head off, cut his dog's head off, and put his dog's head on his body and send it to Kick-Ass.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, don't really send it to Kick-Ass. They put him on the news to be broadcast to Kick-Ass. But, yeah, that is a straight reference from the comics. I love how there's multiple superheroes in the second one. Like, they have, like, their own, like, yeah, spoof of the Justice League. No, what do you think?
Yeah, they're bringing everybody in.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of different people in.
The only thing that I really, or the, one of the biggest things I like about it is Kick-Ass, Hit-Girl, Dr. Gravity, and Colonel Stars and Stripes. Those three, or those four, had the most accurate, like, to their combo counterpart, like, which was really cool. I really like the character of Dr. Gravity. What do you think about him?
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was funny at times. I thought
he is pretty funny.
He didn't have really good chemistry with him though. So I didn't feel like he did. I thought he was kind of funny, but he didn't have good chemistry with Kick-Ass.
Yeah, I think Scrubs had just ended when he started this movie.
He's like, well, I gotta get a paycheck.
The funniest scene for him to me was when he's talking about everything his bat does, and Kick, I was like, whoa, it really does that? He says, no, it's just wrapped in tinfoil.
He's like, no, man, this is a baseball bat wrapped in tinfoil. That was hilarious. In the comic book, so you know how he goes to Night Bitch's house and tries to rape her?
Oh, motherfucker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the comics, like, him and Night Bitch, I don't think are a thing. They might be a thing against him in a minute. But they don't go to her house. They go to Katie's house because they know Kick-Ass is obsessed with her. But she's, like, denied him his, like, entire life. And they actually do go through with raping her. The comic books are a lot more violent and less comedic than the movies. They're still comedic, but they're way less comedic. Like, they're, like, more in a serious tone.
Yeah.
And also, another big difference is the end, where there's that big fight in the warehouse. That actually took place in Town Square, Times Square, in New York, in the comics. And it was like a whole big thing with like police coming in with like riot shields, and like they were trying to break up this superhero supervillain fight, and the police were getting involved. It was like, that's a really cool scene from the comics. Like, if you get a chance to read Kick-Ass 2, definitely read it. It's a fantastic read. I thought the funeral scene was one of my favorite scenes.
Where they pop out of the caskets?
That was pretty dope. The only thing that I can find that I don't really like about this movie, the lack of Hit Girl in it. Because, like, in the...
Yeah, she's trying to live a normal life and stuff.
Yeah, because out of all the different things they did from the comics to the movie, that's the one that bothered me. Because in the comics, they tell her that she needs to live a normal life, and she's like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, and she just tells her mom and stepdad, like, nah, I'm good, and helps Kick-Ass anyway. Like, I think the movie suffered a lot from that.
Comic inaccuracy.
Yep. But all in all, these are comfort movies for me. Like, I turn them on when I'm doing something, when I'm going to bed, when I'm just doing something around my house. These are the movies that are playing in the background because I love them so much.
Yep.
But, yeah, I just love them. What you like? And it sounds like you didn't hate them.
No, like I enjoyed them. Like they're good movies, but
I really kind of didn't know how you'd lean about those movies.
Yeah, well, I had to rent them this time around, and they didn't really feel like worth renting to me.
Should have hired me. I own them.
Yeah, but then I would have had to go through the whole process of texting you.
Yeah, okay.
All that.
Shut up. Okay, so our next one we're going through, before we get to, because we're going to Dragon Ball last. The one before Dragon Ball is Captain America, the big movie out in theaters right now.
Yep.
So, Tell me what you rated Captain America.
3.5 out of 5.
I think I either gave it a 3 or 3.5. I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't have it written down.
By no means is this a bad movie.
No, 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 not at all.
It is, honestly, it's probably one of the best movies Marvel's put out in the past couple of years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Like, it's not going to stand up to, like, the older ones like Iron Man, Thor, the first Captain America. It's not going to stand up to any of those. But it's still a good movie. It's not bad.
It's still better than, like what were the bad ones?
The new Captain Marvel movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. It blows Captain Marvel out of the water. Like.
Yeah, I think this movie's biggest problem was they marketed Red Hulk too much.
That's what I was about to say. Let me go ahead and say this: I've never seen a movie in my entire life that has screwed more than the trailer with the trailers.
Yeah,
this movie was so screwed with the trailers. Okay, you're going to. I understand why they did the whole Red Hulk thing. They marketed the absolute hell out of Red Hulk. You're going to tell me that you done that because you're afraid people wouldn't show up to your movie? You're a Marvel movie. Regardless, you have a fan base. You've put out crap after crap after crap, and you have people still come back to the theater. Maybe not a lot of people would have came. I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep cutting. But maybe not a lot of people would have came, but after the first like mega fans came, and the word of mouth like kept going around like, oh, Red Hulk's in this movie, then other people would have came.
Yeah, they should have tried to keep Red Hulk as secret as possible like they did with Toby and Andrew in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Absolutely.
I promise you, once word got out that Red Hulk was in it, like, they wouldn't have had, like, record-breaking weekend box office. They made their money. They made a profit off this movie.
Oh, yeah, it's been a hit.
Yeah, it's been a hit. Yeah. But
like, for 2 weekends in a row, it's made crazy money.
Yeah, but still, I still just see people crapping all over it on the internet.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, its biggest problem is that that's mainly everybody's gripe is Red Hulk's only in it, like, at the end.
Which would have been okay if they didn't market him.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a
surprise. If it was a surprise.
Yeah, if it was a surprise, oh my gosh, people would have been out jumping out of their seats cheering in the theater that they saw Red Hulk for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But the fact that they, I mean, we're doing spoilers, by the way. We should do a spoiler warning.
Yeah, this is spoilers. I mean, it's been out for 2 or 3 weeks now. Yeah, everybody knows.
Yeah. Like, so, if they would have just said, if they would have kept it under wraps, but people only saw the Hulk for like 5 minutes, they would have been jumping out of their seats cheering in the theater. But the fact that they marketed so heavily on Red Hulk and he was in the movie, literally 5 minutes, like if that, that's why everybody's mad.
Yeah. No, because other than that, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fight scenes were great. They were all right.
Yeah. I didn't really care too much for the leader's design myself. I thought they made him more grotesque than he needed to be. I think he should have just had a really big head.
I agree. I
wasn't angry about it. You know, it wasn't so inaccurate that it made me mad.
Right. That's what I'm going to say. I'm on the fence about it. Like, it was way too grotesque. He should have just had a big head. But I kind of like it because it's kind of like a modern look of the leader.
Yeah.
But I'm a stickler for comic book accuracy. So yeah. I'm on the fence. I like it, but I don't like it. But
yeah, and he didn't have the pencil mustache.
Yeah, but Tim Blake as the leader.
Yeah, now, Tim Blake is a great actor.
And he plays that role.
All day I face the barren waste without the taste of water.
Clear
water.
1,000 hits right there.
Yeah.
So okay, but. No, Harrison Ford's Red Hulk is, okay, the way that this movie is structured, like you don't know he's the Red Hulk.
Yeah.
Like there's hints all through the movie, like him getting overly angry, him breaking the marble table when he slams down, him having to take his pills saying he had them designed. Yeah. That would have worked. If we weren't just sitting there going, well, it's because he's the Red Hulk.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Like, and the Red Hulk is such a big character.
Yeah, he is. But, they way over marketed him.
Yeah. Like, they were afraid. Yeah. After all their flops, they're afraid.
Yeah. I think they're getting all those bad riders out of there, though.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to realize, like, we can't keep doing this. We gotta start reading the comics again.
Yeah. All the comic books y'all threw out in the parking lot, bring them back in here. Let me read them once or twice. Yeah. No, I did like. I was afraid that they were gonna have like the Red Hulk like. Hot, you know how he was like burning stuff when he was touching the stage and was like leaving burn marks. I was so afraid that they weren't gonna do that.
Oh yeah, they're just gonna be red.
Yeah, I was like, you understand why he's red, right? Come on, Marvel. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, it never specifically said anything about it though.
And I don't like, again, one of the biggest gripes I have is the fight between him and Captain America is like he just kind of gets him to calm down. Red Hulk has a very good, like, weakness, which I really like. You can make him so angry, he overheats.
Well, his first appearance, nobody knows that.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
And all he knows is, Bruce Banner, how do you calm him down? Bring in a woman.
That's true. That is true. But, I mean, we should talk about the positives, too, because, like, the aerial scene where they're fighting over the
Indian. Oh, yeah. Well, they're fighting over the Indian Ocean. Great
awesome.
Scene.
Yeah. The aerial fights with the planes.
Yeah.
Awesome. The fight in the beginning, the opening scene.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great fights. And, yeah, it's just a great movie. All the fight scenes are really good. I enjoyed every aspect of this movie. It's just... I would have liked it a lot more had I not known the Red Hulk was going to be there.
I'd have put it up at a 4 or 4.5.
Yeah.
Easily. But it's a nothing movie. It didn't set nothing up.
No.
It
had that like one thing, and he's like, there's evil versions of everybody.
Yeah, he's like, the others are coming. It's like, okay, well, we knew that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was kind of like foreshadowed with the Red Hulk. He's like the evil version of the Hulk.
Not really.
Yeah, I know, but like he is, but he ain't. So maybe it's kind of like foreshadowing that. My biggest, and more than the Red Hulk, more than anything that just pissed me off, they mentioned Adamantium one time.
Yeah.
One time. The entire movie, because that's where they're getting Adamantium as a celestial poking out of the ground. And I love that they addressed this. Because it's been years since the Eternals, and no one's addressed the big giant alien sticking out of the ground.
Well, two, like, I don't know the exact timeline, but I don't think any of the other heroes had anything to do with the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, it is annoying that it took them this long to mention it.
It took them this long to mention it, but... I'd be all right to mention if they talked more about it. Like, give us hints that the Adamantium was being used in, like, a Weapon X program. You know what I mean? Or some kind of... They don't have to say Weapon X. Just say a classified government program.
Yeah.
So that would be enough for me to say, oh, that was worth it. But they're just like, we have this new mineral, Adamantium. Okay, so anyway, like... Talk more about this new mineral you got that's going to be Wolverine's, you know, bad boys. You know what I mean? But... Again, I'm not crapping on this movie. I had a fun time. And besides Deadpool and Wolverine, this movie has been the most with the popcorn buckets. Like we were going to bring them today, but we did forget them.
Yeah.
We will try to either do just a popcorn bucket review video, or we just review those.
Yeah.
Or we will do...
We'll just bring in a bunch of popcorn buckets.
We could do that, or we'll just show them all our next podcast, whatever. If we do a popcorn review video, it'll be on our TikTok and stuff. But, yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was great. I just wish it would have set something up. What do you think about his sidekick?
I can't remember his name.
I can't remember. Joaquin Torres?
Supposed to be New Falcon.
Yeah.
I thought he was funny.
I thought he was funny, too.
He works.
Yeah.
He works.
He definitely works. He's kind of, he feels like a replacement Sam, so.
Yeah.
But. All right, so now on to our finale. I know one that you've been itching at the bits to talk about. Yeah. Dragon Ball. All right. So, we watched the Dragon Ball Evolution movie, and we watched the entire series of Dragon Ball. This is your all-time favorite anything.
Yeah, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you to rate it.
I give Dragon Ball a 5 out of 5.
Honestly, I would too. Like, I'm really, really enjoying this. And you, and Dylan's kind of been like my guide on what to watch because there's so much Dragon Ball stuff out there. There's like so many animated movies I can't even count them. Like,
I think there's like 13.
Yeah, something like that.
13 Z movies.
And then you got multiple different series, and I'm about to start Dragon Ball Z.
Well, but you got three series to watch after Dragon Ball Z. You don't have to watch GT if you don't want to, because it's not really canon.
We're going to watch them all.
Okay. It works for me.
You'll have no complaints from him. But we are going to talk about, first, before we talk about the series, we're going to talk about Evolution, and we're going to talk about how it compares to the series.
Yep.
So you tell me what you rated Evolution.
Yep. 1 out of 5.
I gave it a 4.
For pennies a day, you can help little retarded fat boys like him.
Hear me out. It was actually fun.
No, it pissed me off too bad.
No, I'm just kidding. I gave it a 1.5. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
No,
I just wanted to see your response.
No, it was awful.
No, yeah, like, I agree. No, it was bad.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely a person that, like, you got to try and treat things as their own thing. But you can't do that with this movie.
No, I agree 100%. Because it's trying to be an adaptation of a movie and you like of a show that has a huge fan base.
Yeah, and it gives you no accuracies.
None whatsoever. Like, none. Zip, zero.
No, they could have just renamed everybody and at the end, in the credits, said inspired by Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Inspired by.
Yeah.
Not based on, not an adaptation.
Right.
But no, it's like, this is Dragon Ball now. Fuck you.
You're like, no, they named my Dragon Ball.
I didn't vote for this Dragon Ball.
The first one was to say, the Piccolo design, so stupid. He is, like, that's bad. Like, I know it's practical, but that's bad practical effects.
Yeah.
Bad. The story is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, so, so dumb.
He's not even a giant monkey. He's just a werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's supposed to be, like, Piccolo's, like, helper or whatever.
Yeah. Doesn't even have a tail.
That's one of my big problems. And it has to happen during some kind of eclipse.
Yeah.
For you to talk to the dragon?
No, for him to turn into the big monkey.
Oh, see, that's stupid. It's anytime the, was it a full moon or just a moon?
An eclipse. Oh, in the show?
Yeah.
It's a full moon.
Okay, I don't know if it's full moon or a regular moon.
Just anytime there's a full moon, he's got a tail, he turns into a giant monkey.
Yeah, which is werewolf material, but that's not a werewolf.
Yeah.
He's a monkey.
So,
hold on.
And what?
My biggest fault with this movie. No Tenshion and no Krillin. Those are my two favorite characters in the entire first series.
Yeah, and they're nowhere to be found.
No.
Master Roshi doesn't have a beard, and he's not bald.
Don't get me started on Master Roshi. They go to his house and it's in the middle of a town.
Yeah.
It's just a little house in the middle of a city.
It's like an island in the middle of a construction site.
Yeah. You're like, what is this crap? Like, yeah.
The capsules. Her vehicles. They're transformers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That, don't get me.
And how they did the Kamehameha.
What about it?
The way he had to, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even the effects on the Kamehameha was so bad.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on how they treated my boy Yamcha either. They made him a surfer, bro.
Yeah, he's always kind of been voiced like a surfer, bro.
Yeah, but
like, he has no martial arts skills whatsoever. But he does. He has actual martial arts skills. But
they have him as like a moron. And he's kind of an idiot in the show. But he's not.
Yeah, he's just a dumb guy with no powers in this movie.
He's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't like how they made Bulma kind of like a, like
Black Widow.
Yeah, yeah, they made her like
she's supposed to be some type of ninja badass.
Yeah, it's like, it really is like they watched the first episode of the show and was like, yeah, we don't need to see no more. And clicked it off.
The little blue streak in her hair.
Yeah, for the blue hair she has.
Piccolo killed Goku's grandpa.
Yeah.
That was completely unnecessary.
That was very stupid, because the whole thing is Goku killed him.
No power pole.
No Nimbus. I know. The power pole bothered me. The Nimbus, I could take or leave. The power pole bothered me, because he's always had the power pole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was such a bad movie.
Yeah, and that first scene where he runs into Chi-Chi, that's supposed to be the tournament.
Yeah. And he, like, that's the tournament.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, I don't care about this tournament. So do you understand this dude trains for these tournaments? And you're just gonna be like, ah, he's just a tournament.
Yeah.
And I get that they made Chi-Chi some kind of martial artist or whatever, but she's not supposed to be like that when they first meet, neither. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then his master, it's not even Master Muay Thai Ido.
Yeah, it's, what would they call him in the movie?
I don't know what they called him in the movie, but his master is supposed to have died imprisoning Piccolo the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that movie just awful.
It'll just get you going on it. Oh, my gosh.
Raises my blood pressure.
I feel like what they did was they took Bulma and they made her a combination of her and Launch.
Kinda, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No Oolong.
No Oolong. Oolong was one of my first favorite characters.
Yep. No Puar. No nothing.
It's Puar.
The little cat that follows Yamcha.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm terrible with names. I will ask you their name a million times. It feels so rushed. The movie's like an hour and a half, and it feels like... Because they tried to cram, you know, 150 episodes of a show into 1 hour or 90-minute runtime.
Like you, yeah,
you can't do that.
No,
if you're going to, it's hard. It'd be hard to give Dragon Ball Z justice.
But I'm honestly firmly against live action adaptations.
Yep.
The only one that I've actually seen that does any kind of justice is the One Piece.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's the only one that actually does some justice to. Like, a lot of people love it. I'm not that big a fan of it. Like, I don't think it's bad, but the live-action One Piece is probably the best live-action anime adaptation there is.
I am on a journey of watching all these animes, and Dragon Ball's first, then I want to finish Demon Slayer, then I'll probably watch One Piece. And I want to get back into watching Chainsaw Man, too.
You should probably just watch Naruto before.
And Naruto.
I like One Piece better than Naruto, but... Naruto's already done, unless you want to go watch Boruto, which is about his son.
No.
Yeah. A lot of people don't care for that series.
I don't know. It honestly, I'd say it again, just feels like the creators of this show just didn't like the movie, or creators of the movie didn't like the show.
Yeah, no. The guy who played Piccolo, he felt so bad for making this movie and disappointing so many Dragon Ball fans that he created another name and voiced one of the villains in Dragon Ball Super. And he's actually a very good voice.
That was his apology. He's like, I got to make amends.
Yeah.
I got to make amends for what I'm doing there. I don't know. I didn't like it.
No. It was terrible. And that's the only movie I've given you that you did not like.
And also,
I didn't want you to like it.
What bugged me, too, was the way they said Gohan. They called him Gohan. That bugged me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. This just movie's just bad all the way around.
Yeah, because...
I wonder is, like... I don't know if it came... It came out in, like, 2012 or 2010. And... I wonder if Goku and Bulma, they also play Fiona and Steve and Shameless.
Jimmy Steve, yeah.
Yeah. Is that how, I don't know. I need to look up interviews, see if that's how they met or if they've just always been friends or something like that.
I don't know. They may have just worked on two different projects together.
Kind of. But I've never actually watched all of Shameless.
Brother, watch Shameless. It's one of the best shows to ever exist.
I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a shot one day.
It's so good. But, hold on. Let's talk about the Dragon Ball series. So, you have recommended this series over and over again, and I absolutely love it. Now, the reason it took me so long to watch it, there is an arc in this movie with the Red Ribbon Army that takes about 30 episodes, give or take. And when I tell you it's the hardest 30 episodes I ever to watch of any series, I absolutely hated the Red Ribbon Army arc. I just, there's something about them. I just didn't feel like they were on Goku's, like, level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like they were just more of an inconvenience.
Like the Pilaf gang.
Like the Pilaf gang. Like, they're more of an inconvenience. It's like, oh, well, they done this. Let's go solve that. And, like, if there's no, like, the whole Piccolo story, that's a great story. The story of him training with,
Korin.
Great story. Like, give me more of those, but, like, the whole Red Ribbon thing, it's like, okay, these guys are just kind of pissing me off for 30 episodes.
Yeah.
But any thoughts you want to talk about Dragon Ball?
I've always loved this show.
Yeah.
Like, I've loved Dragon Ball since I was wee little baby boy.
wee little man.
Wee little baby boy. And it's just, it's always been funny. Dragon Ball's always been funnier than Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
And it's got, I feel like it's got the perfect amount of comedy and action in it. And it has a good adventure along the way. And the tournament arcs are so well choreographed.
I agree. The tournaments are the best part of the whole series.
Yeah, the tournaments are always the best arcs in Dragon Ball.
I will say, one of the biggest negatives I have about it is I don't like Kid Goku. I like Adult Goku. So yep. Give me Adult Goku more. Like, I like how he was in the last, like, 20 episodes. Something like that. 10, 20, something like that. And I like that he... I like the whole Piccolo villain. Like, I thought that villain has a fantastic, like, origin. Has a fantastic story. Has a fantastic rivalry with Goku. I love it.
Yeah. And my favorite, I would say that my favorite arc is probably the last tournament.
Where he fights Junior?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Dragon Ball Daima, I just now caught up to it. And I absolutely love it. Like, brings back everything I love about Dragon Ball. Like, the comedy and everything. But, I remember. It dives into new origins for Namekians. Like, it explains, like, certain beings and everything. I'm trying to not give too much away for you.
Right.
But it explains the existence for Piccolo and everything like that. Piccolo's dad and everything like that. So, so you should watch that one after you finish Z, and then we'll start Super. But okay. By the time you get done with Z, it'll probably all be dubbed.
Gotcha. So we're going to be reviewing Dragon Ball Z season by season.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, for you, it'll be saga by saga.
Right, well, yeah.
And then,
do you want to review Gotham season by season?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll do Gotham season by season.
Okay. I'll rewatch it with you. And we'll be watching Dragon Ball. I love Gotham. I love Dragon Ball. So.
Yep. Alright. So, I believe that's all I have for it right now.
Honestly, I should have finished it more often. Or sooner. But, again, I just couldn't get past that Red Ribbon arc. I don't like them. I don't like the story. I know they come back at some point. But I feel like at that point I'm going to be so invested in the show I like it, because
they don't come back how you're thinking.
No, honestly, the characters of Dragon Ball are so well written, and they have such great redemption and stories, and like the way that, like, just for example, like Goku or Yamcha or any of them, like, they are so well written characters that get such good character development through the show, like through the runtime of the show. It's just great. Like, I understand why this show has a great fan base.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's all we have for this episode of the podcast.
Yep.
So next week we are going to be reviewing Give Me Your Two Movies.
Brewster's Millions.
I'm so pumped to watch Brewster's Millions.
Hear no evil, see no evil.
Gotcha. My two for you is going to be Companion, the new movie that just came out about the robot.
Oh.
And Flight Risk with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
And we are going to try to get to the theater and watch Last Breath with Woody Harrelson about the underwater divers. Yep. It's the only new movie out at the time. And then the week after that, we're going to be reviewing Mickey 17.
I am excited for Mickey 17.
So excited for Mickey 17.
That looks like it'll be a good movie.
And Robert Pattinson is just fantastic at everything.
All right.
But that'll be it for the podcast. Like, subscribe, and yeah.
Bye.
See you later.